Welcome back, guys, to another edition of OT with Nast and Riggs and our boy Baller, who's joining us again this week. Thank you, Baller. You're the man. Big news this morning. You hate to see anyone lose their job, but the Flyers have fired Alain Vigneault and Michel Therrien. Boys, what are your thoughts here?
I think something that needed to happen, obviously. I mean, you lose eight straight, and things aren't getting any better. You gotta fire somebody, and it's usually the coach, assistant coach, and a lot of times general manager, like we've seen with Canucks. But you gotta shake things up. That's what happens.
Yeah, you always hate. I've been through it. You hate to see. They're human beings at the end of the day, but it is their job. They make a lot of money. Yep. You hate to see. It's a business. You hate to see people lose their job. But this has been a bit of a mess. Yeah. I mean, to put it, you know, in a nice way. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's been a mess, Baller.
Yeah, I mean, it had to happen. It was time.
Yep.
To be honest, I kind of thought it should have happened at the end of last season.
I've
been calling for Rick Tocchet for a while. I mean, we could get on that in a little bit. One of the possible candidates, but it had to happen. You lose eight in a row, second to worst in the division. I mean, you needed to make change.
Yeah.
You could wonder why Chuck's still here. We can get into that a little bit too. I mean, not good in Flyers land right now.
Yeah, I know for sure. Yeah, I think, you know, when shit hits the fan in any sport, again, it's all about performance and winning games.
It is.
And it's the easiest move you can make is to fire, well, starting with the coach. Yeah. And then general manager too. Usually, it's you know, they're connected, right? They're one builds a team, and no one is running the team on a day to day. But I don't know how you fix this. You know, this will shake things up. Whoever they bring in, there's a couple good candidates. You mentioned Rick Tocchet. I think John Tortorella is another one there. I mean, I think both are amazing options. But whoever comes in, you know, is going to put their fingerprint on this, and at the very least, get these guys working. In a little bit more of a united fashion, I think.
Right.
I think, you know, they're missing some bodies. You can argue that that's why they might be losing some of these games. But, I mean, Baller and I were at the game yesterday, and they got shots, but there was no essence. You know, there's like, you know, that fire, that desire, that team chemistry, whatever you want to call it. So hopefully one of these coaches, if it's even them, comes in and at least the very least gets these guys working together.
Right.
And then the fans can't be that disappointed at the end of the day.
Right. Exactly. And Riggs, you played the game obviously at the highest level, and it is, you feel frustrated for the boys because you see the frustration.
Yeah.
And I think we touched on this last week. It's not because they're not trying.
Yeah.
You get to a point sometimes where I think you try too hard. And you're just like, I'm going to go help here when maybe, you know, there was a play the other day we talked about where one of the D had a player and the other D just went flying over to him when you have to trust your D partner.
100%.
But things like that start happening when things are going bad.
Yeah.
And they're going bad. And we talked about this too, guys. We had a 10-game losing streak a few years ago when I was with a team. And the difference, I feel like, and that was the games were closer, and we just couldn't get a bounce. There were overtime losses. These have not been close.
Yeah.
And you see the frustration building, and Baller, you brought it up. I was not at the game. You guys were. They came out strong. I did watch afterwards, but they came out, had a good start to the game.
Yeah.
But you give one up, and it's almost like, oh, fuck, here we go again. You know, and
that's exactly what I thought.
And it sucks as a player. Riles, you could touch on that way better than we can, but even as a staff member, your job as a staff member, as a trainer, as an equipment guy, which, you know, all those guys do, you have to stay positive because last thing the players, Riles, you know this about me, I'm just hyper anyway, but like you have to be, hey, we've lost seven in a row, but hey, you know, it's okay, boys. We're going to get it tonight. And I'm sure that's going on by the staff. But even as a staff member, when this is going like this and they get that goal, then you're like, oh man,
yeah.
You know, and you see heads go down, and it's just a tough time.
Deflating,
man.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to piggyback off your point there, you know, I everyone's working hard, right? I mean, you know, you said no one's not working, but I think what I'm seeing, and this happens when you're squeezing the stick too much, you start doing other people's jobs. You know what I mean? So it's like not working smart anymore, right? I mean, you're putting the physical work in and the effort in, but like, you know, like to that point on that goal. It's like maybe just stay with your man and, you know, less work, a little bit more thinking,
right,
and then everything would have sorted itself out. Once you start doing other people's jobs, that really, you know, destroys the chemistry. That's why there's a philosophy around how to play the game, is that everyone kind of knows their job and where to be in certain situations. And once you start deviating away from that, that's when the team play, you know, lands up self-destructing. And, right, and you're seeing that. It's like the Flyers are finding ways to get shots, but you look at, you know, specifically yesterday's game, the Tampa's just crisper. They just break the puck out better, and they just enter the zone way more efficiently, you know what I mean? And they just look better. You know, going back to, you know, you can only do so much with the product on the ice. I mean, are the Flyers good enough as a team to actually, even with the coaching change, make a run for the playoffs? Like, I don't know. Even if they were fully healthy right now, I just don't see them being as good as some of these higher tier teams, you know? I mean, they got some good players.
Right.
But to me, like, you know, you go down like the depth of like the third and fourth line compared to other teams, like they got some higher end skill guys on these.
Look at what Tampa did to us last night without Kucherov, Point, and Cernak.
Right.
I mean, we got Mollywop 7-1.
Yeah.
They're missing guys. They're not using that as an excuse. You look at Washington, they're without Oshie, they're without Backstrom, Mantha.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot. Yeah. Oshie, has Backstrom played?
No.
I mean, he hasn't even played.
Yeah.
He's a huge part of their team.
Yeah.
A huge part.
Pittsburgh was without Sid and Gino for a while. Gino's still out.
Right.
They're still above water. They're finding ways, and the Flyers aren't doing that right now.
Yeah, and that comes with the depth. I mean, if Pat Maroon's first shift of the game, you get a partial breakaway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not the quickest footed guy, but
Big Rig will tell you. He goes, I'm not bad. Actually, when we had dinner, I said, you're still scooting out there. He goes, well, once I get going, I'm good. But if I got to stop, I'm like, I might as well change. You know, we were fucking dying.
But I actually thought he was moving pretty good. But my point was just like, you know, like they're finding ways to generate opportunities outside of like their elite go-to players. And that's what good teams do. Yeah. And that's the only way to sustain an 82-game season. But I, on paper, going into the season, we talked about this several times.
That's what I was going to say,
Even if they were fully healthy right now, I just, they'll probably squeeze out a few more wins, but I don't see them being in that higher tiered bracket of elite teams.
Right. But we were positive going into this. I did think this was going to be better because, you know, everybody's talking about you lose Jake. I still don't like that. But the fact is, Jake wanted out.
There's reasons behind that, which mentally, people disconnected, you don't really bring up,
which surprises me.
Yeah.
But he wanted out. Why do you want to leave this organization? I don't know, but I do know. But
maybe he wants to come back now.
Yeah, maybe he does. But but the fact is, you know, you pick up Cam and he's struggling now. You know, he started off great. The guy can score, but like again, he goes back to everybody just trying almost too much. But we had, I think we talked about, we thought, well, this team is kind of deep. It's we have a little bit of depth here, you know, because I was very optimistic. I'm not saying I thought they were the best team in the league, but I thought the changes were going to be really good. But right now, for some reason, they're not performing those new pieces.
I think it's interesting. Look at what Jake's doing in Columbus. Look at what Ghost is doing in Arizona.
Yeah, I know, right?
They just got rid of
Cube, yeah.
He's got more points 5-on-5 than anyone on the Flyers does besides G since he's left. Players are leaving Philly and having success, right. I mean, 100%. Something's up there.
Something's definitely up. Whether they're playing in situations that they shouldn't be in or the coach themselves doesn't have enough confidence in them and putting them in a situation to be successful. Whatever that lands up being, obviously they're finding success elsewhere, so their coach is believing them a little bit more or putting them in situations to be more highly successful. And, Mike Yeo is taking over as interim head coach.
Yeah, we should mention that. And then Michel Therrien's also out. We didn't mention that.
Yep.
French Mike's out.
French Mike. But we mentioned the two top names coming up, you know, as far as taking over the head coaching job, potentially, are Rick Tocchet and John Tortorella. If we were just talking about those two.
Right.
Who do you like out of those two?
You know what? I'm lucky enough to know both guys. I think they approach the game different, but their passion's the same.
Yeah.
And Talk is a really good players coach. He's kind of like Chief.
Mm-hmm.
He'll get on you. He's into the game. Like, that's the thing. He's a competitor. Torch is a little louder, as we've heard, like, right, from people that have played for him, that have been on the show, and I've been fortunate enough to work with him at the Olympics and World Cup. He just wants to win. I mean, that's the thing. He's boisterous. He's loud on the bench. He tells you, as soon as you get on the bench, if you did something wrong.
Yeah.
But he does make a difference, I think. I mean, I think they're both great candidates. I don't know which way they'll go. Maybe they don't. Maybe Yosi steps in here and they win some games just because of the change. You know, right, how that works sometimes.
Yeah, a little chemistry.
I mean, you never know what they're going to do. I'm sure they're talking and looking. Oh, yeah. I would imagine they are.
I would think so.
But,
I don't know if you guys heard on TNT the other night, they showed the Flyers-Rangers highlights Wednesday night, and they were starting to mess with Tok. Anson Carter was like, is your phone ringing yet? Anyone calling you? And Liam McHugh's like, if they call you, we've got to break some news here. They were busting his balls about it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's funny.
Yeah. Well, they're both amazing candidates. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with either. Baller and I were talking before about, Tok, it never really had a good team that he was coaching. No. You know what I mean? You look back at Tampa before the rebuild.
Right.
Phoenix, suspect team. So he never really had a real true, group of guys to work with. Torts, he had some pretty good teams there for a few years. But you said that the mindsets are similar. They're obviously different characters, but they're both good humans.
Really
we've learned. Yeah. I've never actually met Torts.
And they care about their players.
They want to win, obviously. I think every coach wants to win. For me, love them both. I think in the situation the Flyers are in, just knowing how Torts has been known to shake teams up, especially when he comes in early. Mm-hmm. Not that Tok couldn't do this. Chiefs done this back in the day.
Yeah.
Get him working, get him skating. I just think, like, to send a message, to rattle the cage a little bit, I mean, to me, Torts might be that guy. Right. I don't know. But it might not even be either of those guys. Mike Yeo was a head coach.
Yeah.
He has some success, and maybe they don't even find anybody. But something needs to change. You need some sort of shakeup.
Right. And just to touch on that, Riles, about Tok, the teams he had weren't that good, but the last few years he coached there, they were right there.
Yeah, they were.
They were right there, and to me that says a lot.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have a ton of talent there.
No, but they were in the mix. Yeah, they were, exactly, went down to the last couple days of the season, games of the season. And to me, when you got a guy like that, your players are playing that hard for you, and I don't know Tok's exact system because I didn't get to see a lot of Arizona games, but I know how much players cared about him and loved him, and vice versa. That's impressive to me, but Torch will come in, crack the whip. Oh, yeah. And not that Tok wouldn't, like you said, but...
Well, Tok knows the organization. He knows the city. He knows what it takes to succeed in Philadelphia. Yeah. I think that's got to count for something.
100%. And he lived it and played it, right? Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just like some sort of just like prima donna goal scorer. Like, this guy like embodied
he was a typical Flyer.
If Mr. Snyder was still here...
Tok would be the guy, 100%. Yep. Yeah, that is the truth.
That's the other thing, is it's not the same anymore. Yeah.
No.
And I'm not saying that in a negative way, but it's not the same.
No, of course not.
And I saw that firsthand, and you kind of see it even from the outside if you...
Oh, you go to a game. You go to a game, you can feel it. And you can feel, the spirit's not
was
there.
Was it like half empty last night? I heard it
was. Oh, it was bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, the just whole third period was nothing but booze.
Oh, yeah.
The whole third period.
Yeah.
I sound soft, but I just feel bad for the boys because I know how much they're...
Of course. No,
I know
have
how
to go
frustrated
through that.
They are,
man.
It's a shame.
But it's become just so corporate that, it's just lost that essence. And obviously, Ed Snyder built an amazing organization around, I built a culture, not just an organization.
It was.
I think it's lost.
It was
that.
An environment that you just... Even if you had a bad year there, like, it was just different.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. It was just
a
winning environment.
At least someone cared is what you felt like.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of going back to what you said about corporate, we went to the Link the other night. When we were driving there, I noticed two big billboards. They're selling Santa sacks. They're not advertising the star young goalie. They're not advertising, Claude Giroux, who's second all-time in points. They're advertising Gritty.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's pathetic.
That's a huge disconnect, you know, when you're trying to bring people into the building for. Yep. Is it just entertainment? You may as well move the team to another Vegas or something like that, or somewhere where the fans are just coming there for some sort of entertainment.
Yeah.
But if you know, you talk about an actual hockey city where the fans actually care about the product on the ice, like it's the only way to bring in legitimate fans. Otherwise, you're just bringing people in just to spend a couple hundred bucks to come see a nice jumbotron and a nice presentation and whatever else, and then they're booing the product on the ice. But
yeah, last night was shore night, and they got Gritty running around in a bathing suit, like
embarrassing.
No one over the age of 10 finds that funny, entertaining.
No, it was actually relentlessly annoying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's different when things are going well, but you're right. It's
and going back more on corporate. I mean, AV was just fired a half hour ago. I'm sitting here wondering, why is Chuck still here?
Yeah.
Chuck last week, he says it's a personnel problem. You know, he wants to see AV coach this team when they're healthy. Well, what changed within the last week? I mean, they lost two games, right? But
Yeah.
And then he blamed a lot of it on personnel. I mean, that's your job, Chuck. I mean,
well, exactly. I mean, especially early on in the season like this, if you know a couple of guys going to be out for longer periods of time, like maybe you try and find a way to patch a hole or two, right? I mean, it's like there has to be some effort besides just playing it patient, because you play this game a little bit more patient, too much more patiently, you're going to be out. You're going to be out and have no chance of getting the playoffs. Yeah. So then the whole other season's written off completely.
Yep.
I mean, there has to be some sort of effort, and it's like, how much longer could you wait to fire the coach? I mean, it's, you know, it could happen last week, arguably. I mean, they're just trying to hold on for dear life, but I agree, and go back to my comment earlier. I mean, I thought going into this season, if they were fully healthy, that they would have been, like, right up there with some of the elite teams.
I agree.
After seeing some of these elite teams play, I mean, even fully healthy, I'm not sure they're with them up there with them.
There's just so many guys struggling. It's like, it's the whole team. Like, is a new coach going to help all of that?
I think just over 26 years of being in the room, obviously we know I didn't play, but being around it and even being at the rink longer than you guys were and hearing and watching and listening, Riles knows, usually I don't care if they put me behind the bench, it's something different.
Yeah.
And it just always seems to work. Like that first game, I'm not saying it's going to go 10 games in a row, but I think they win tonight.
Yeah.
And I know I'm because of that change, you know, I think the guy you're going to see which it's not like they don't give everything that they have every night. Like, but hopefully Yossi gets a win, you know, for his sake and the team's sake and the fans' sake, and then maybe it turns into something.
Yeah.
But you're still looking at weeks without Ellie, without Ellis.
Yeah.
You know, Brass, I don't know how much closer he is.
It sounded like he tweaked his injury at practice.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Beezer.
Week to week, yeah.
Yeah, but Beezer's 2-4.
He was the only one scoring goals.
Yeah.
Well, and we talked about this, Riles. I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but I was saying about Beezer, like, he was squeezing the stick. I think I said to you, it's just going to take him to have a good game, have a good play, and he's going to get his mojo back, and he did. And then he loses an edge, goes into the boards. Yeah. Look, the way he hit into those boards, it looked like his shoulder ended up over here. I mean, he totally – it didn't look good. And I did speak with him, and he said, not too bad, not going to need surgery, which is good, but, you know, 2 to 4 weeks, who knows. Well, you know, hopefully the last thing you do is rush another guy back.
Right, exactly.
Especially him. This kid's a special player.
Yeah.
Would it help if they had everybody? Yes. But like you said, Baller, everybody doesn't have all their guys all the time, and you have to find a way. And you know what? The players haven't made excuses about that. We saw G say it's not an excuse.
Yeah.
You know?
And building off that is that the Flyers are not just losing. They're losing by a country mile. You know, a lot of these games, like, they're not even close. It'd be different if these are one goal games and all overtime games. Then you could be like, okay, well, we actually are competitive in these games without some of these guys. I think that wait and see, we are what we are right now, comment could be justified, but they're not even close. Like, to me, they're just outworked, and and outcompeted it by a country mile. So that being said, just like with Canucks did, you fire the coach and general manager. It's kind of like some new life on the other side of the fence. You know what I mean? And it's a new philosophy of building a team and putting a team together. So, I mean, that's just my opinion. You don't ever want to call for people's heads and say, oh, yeah, fire. It's easy to say just fire somebody, get rid of somebody. You know what I mean? But, like, you know, you're in the business of winning games and our organization building a culture or recreating a culture. And that hasn't happened in 3 years. I mean, it's the same story.
Yeah.
It's the same conversation that we have, like, every time. It's like, is this going to get better? No, it's not getting any better. It's not getting any better. Well, it's like, I mean, sometimes you just got to make those tough moves. You know what I mean? But that's the business we're in, right? I mean, that's the business that these hockey guys are in, right? I mean, it's about winning games. And
on the ride home last night, I started thinking about, remember 13-14, they fired Lavi 3 games in?
Mm-hmm.
And then they still struggled for a little bit after that. But then
we won the first game. And then that's what I mean. We won that first game like 2-1. Because I remember Chief, someone asked about, what are you going to do about Rosehill? He took a bad penalty late in the game.
Yeah.
And we had to kill a penalty off. And Chief goes, what do you mean to do, spank him?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
He knows he made a dumb play. Yeah, it's a terrible play. What am I going to do at that point? I can't bench him. Here's 3 minutes to go in the game. But we won that game, struggled. But found a way, and there's another thing there. Chief found a way with a limited group. A limited group, and we made the playoffs, and we lost in Game 7 to the team that went to the finals. I mean,
that team had serious goal-scoring problems, too.
Yeah.
And then the Capitals game comes in. They're losing whatever the hell it was. Ray Emery, Wayne Simmons, they had enough, and they showed their frustration.
Yep. And I mean, Vinny Cavalier.
Oh, my God, Schenner.
Schenner.
Yep.
I mean, let's... I don't know if that happens if Ray doesn't skate the length. I'll never forget. I know we've talked about this, but when I got back in the locker room after it, I kind of chuckled because I said from Slapshot, what'd you say to him, Reg?
Yeah, right.
You know, and Razor's dying. He goes, "Do you like that?" I'm like, I think 20,000 people
loved
it. Poor Holpe, but I said, seriously though, would you? He goes, I got to him and I said, let's fucking go. And he said, no way. He goes, well, protect yourself because we're going. You know, and then...
They let out their frustration that night.
We went on a run after that.
Yeah, G scored that goal against Edmonton, and then he went on... He got Hart nomination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they made the playoffs. I mean, it can happen.
Oh, it can happen. And, you know, going back to that season, I was still coaching with the Phantoms at the time, but I remember that training camp like it was almost yesterday, because I don't know if you remember, it was like, you know, it's always that battle of how hard do you push these guys in training camp? And this prevention of injury type of thing. Because, you know what I mean? Training camp is tough. It's grueling. But a lot of times you get a lot of injuries coming out. So there was this balance of doing less work, less skating. I don't know if you remember that now.
Less
skating and training camp.
Yeah, I remember.
Less, like, everything. It was all about in the name of prevention of injury.
Right.
Which seems wise. But if you're not putting enough work in, then when the season starts... You're behind. I think they dropped all but maybe one game in the preseason that year.
Yeah.
And then you get into the regular season. Well, they're out of shape. They weren't skating. I think Chiefs spent like the first month there just skating. Like, you know, it seems fundamental, but it's like you got to get these guys working at that pace that needs to be played at. So that's the philosophy, right? This is like, okay, well, there's always this fine line of work versus recovery, but if you're going to play on the side of recovery and prevention of injury, you're not going to put the work in. You're going to be behind. But, you know, obviously, Chief's a worker. He's a smart guy. Understands the recovery component, but you can't outsource the work.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And live in this bubble. So I know Yo is interim. Maybe he's full term. Who knows how this thing plays out? But whoever's going to come in and run the ship is going to get these guys to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And work not just as individuals, like as a team, a collective unit, which is...
Especially if it's one of the two that we threw out there. And there could be other... Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're talking to someone else. Who knows? But
well, Bruce Boudreau probably could have been atop of that list too until yesterday, obviously. But there was, you know, a few good candidates.
Winnie
out
the
there,
Pooh?
Sure. Yeah. And Winnie the Pooh.
I love him. It's funny.
But... we'll see, I guess, tonight, right? I mean, it's game one of a new era.
Behind the bench.
Yeah, G said post-game last night, and this was before AV was fired, he said, expect us to answer tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to see what they come out with.
When you drop that many games in a row, it's like the odds are working in your favor that you're going to sneak out a win now and then,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
it's game 9 or 10, it's like they're bound to win a game, right? I mean, it's like how many games can you lose in a row, really? But the timing of this is very much needed, obviously, whether it's the firing itself or the belief of the captain that's going to actually trickle into the rest of the players and actually believe they're going to win. I mean,
yeah, like
even, I believe they're
going to
win.
Even going back to last year, it just kind of looked like everybody quit on each other.
Yeah.
Coaching staff, players, it had to be done.
Yeah, I agree. Fresh start behind the bench, hopefully.
Yeah, and like we said, you know, it's not out of reach. That's the one good thing. Try to find a positive here. You hate to see people lose their job,
yeah.
But there's a lot of games left. You know, it's not like you got to make up for these 8 losses. You know, you got to get a few in a row. It can't be like here, you know, 500.
How many points are they out?
Seven
And there's a lot of division games left. I mean, it's
only
December.
Oh, yeah,
there's
exactly.
Time. Definitely
there's
time.
Definitely time.
Definitely
yeah.
time. But
this is the
this
time
a
you
big
have to
week.
Make the,
this is yep. a big week. So, and we got some teams coming in that you should beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hopefully they find a way to.
Yeah, you guys are going to the desert, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Woohoo.
Looking forward to that one, Nass.
No, me too, man. Can't wait.
Oof. Get on the road and see these guys.
Yep.
Hopefully string together a couple wins.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to that.
Yeah,
I
me
know
too.
You'll be in bed by 10:30 every night.
Oh, that would be you.
Tucked in.
That would be you, not me.
Right on. Well, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap, boys.
OT. Check us out next week.
Yep, thanks to Baller, our boy Debo behind the scenes over here. Thank you, guys. See you next week on OT.
Thanks for watching, Knuckleheads.